broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace, that loud. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, Shabbat Shalom. Good evening, everybody. Afternoon to some, morning to others. I want to welcome you nonetheless here to Scriptures and Scuttlebutts on Blog Talk Radio. And a great big shout out to all of you MAGA patriots listening in. And a hearty hello nonetheless to Lottie Dottie and every other body. Tonight we bring you a special edition. Well, last week we brought you a special edition on Sunday, a special edition of Scriptures and Scuttlebutts. And here it is on Friday, this Sabbath, and it is April 26th. I've got the wrong copy up. Let me get to the right page, and I'll give you all the information that's supposed to be in there. I'm reading off the wrong page, so let's start over, shall we? Shabbat Shalom, and a good evening, ladies and gentlemen, morning to some, afternoon to others, but a hearty hello nonetheless to la-di-da-di and every other body. And we do bring you tonight this Sabbath edition of Scriptures and Scuttlebutts here on Holistic Truth. It is Friday, April 26, 2024. It's also known as Nisan 18, 57, 84, and we are using two calendars. And, you know, we're broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. I am your host, Leander Grace. And, you know, last time I said, you know, I was using four calendars, and it's not that I'm using four calendars, but I'm using two calendars with dates and days of week, and so that kind of sent me into a time warp. But I have it on good authority that all of the timelines are collapsing in together to the one that is most choice. I just thought I'd throw that out there to get some giggles and a reaction if anybody wants to react to that. But it is an amazing time to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of the one thing, diligently contending for the faith. His Holy Spirit guides our battle, knowing we are given only our daily bread and a daily reprieve based upon our spiritual fitness, going forward with the full armor of Yahweh Elohim, knowing the battle is won, but we must show up. Now, I want to talk just a minute to this very opening here. We say every Scriptures and Scuttlebutts, you know, we open up with given only our daily bread. And you know, that's part of the Lord's Prayer, or as our sisters in the Catholic Church say, part of the Our Father. And whether you're male or whether you're female, you know, I could say brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church, but it's a sister church. It's, you know, so yeah. Anyway, the daily bread we talked about when we talked about Jesus himself being the bread of life. And so we're going to be given all that we need. It's not just our daily bread to munch and crunch and have some unleavenedness during the Passover, but it becomes our daily bread, Torah, for the Jew, for the children of Israel. We've already had this discussion. Torah is bread. Torah is the living water. Jesus is the living water. Jesus is Torah. And so we are given only our daily Torah, our daily bread, our daily sustenance, our daily infusion, and perhaps on Sabbath we're given an extra portion, just like in the wilderness. I don't know. I'm just saying it could be. And so we move on, going forward with the full armor of Yahweh Elohim, knowing the battle is won, but we must show up. Holy Spirit is moving in this great awakening, and it continues to change hearts and minds and win souls as it moves across the face of the earth. Changes upon us, and we see that. We see it on the world stage. We see a different picture today than we saw last week. We see a different picture today than we saw last month. And now we see on the campuses of our Ivy League schools poison that poison and death and program, and someone's running it. And I'm saying that at the top of the hour because we're going to end the broadcast talking about death and poison and programs and who's running it. Not all who are gifted are in and of the light, but we do know that change is upon us within every dimension and layer of change that we as a species and we the people can conceive and in levels and dimensions that we cannot yet imagine. The harlot's in the house and the thief is at the door, and this is definitely the time to say to come away from the tents. Come away from the tents. Now, that's inclusive not just of those who were waywardly participating, but those who are waywardly participating. You know, I've come across some information and Democracy Now! I went ahead and did some recording. Now, let me just say this before we get too far along into the broadcast. Last night's broadcast, I wasn't able to dial in to Blog Talk Radio. They're going to have, you know, some time to spend with me and talk about these incidences of not being able to dial into my program. But anyway, I went ahead and I recorded at least an hour of the broadcast that I intended to broadcast last night, but I'm leaving that sit and not bringing it forward tonight because I plan on putting the other hour on it and going ahead and getting it up on the page for last night's broadcast. So that's in the works, and it's pretty good, but there must be a reason for a delay. Otherwise, the Father wouldn't have seen fit to have the delay, and so that's what it is. We're just waiting until evidently there's a timing issue with what I have to say and who with whatever needs to hear it. I'm all right with that. But make no mistake, folks, and do not be deceived. We're at war. We're going to win this battle, but not alone, not without giving it to God and praying it. Praying it out and knowing that Holy Spirit will be consoling you simply if you ask. Consolation is available. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're not fighting against humans. We're fighting against the darkness, and some of the humans are being manipulated by it. And I was listening or actually watching a reel play out, you know, as some of these protesters, they're not even protesters, the Hamas situation on campuses. You know, and there's a protestation technique that Black Lives Matter and all of these, whether underground and communists are us, practice because it is effective. And I'm going to let you know what I call it and what I've come to know it as is brats. And it's not just there being a brat, but the technique is called brats. And what they do is they sit and act like a 2-year-old spoiled child that's having a fit. Now, what that does is it sets the adult that's addressing the situation off psychologically for just a skosh. Remember, if I come at you, now this is a little bit of stuff that we're going to be talking about on Empathic Channel, but I'm just going to give a little peek into it. If we come at somebody with our child, we awaken their parent. That's a psychosocial thing. That's an interactive thing. Coming at us with babies, they're adults, and someone said criminals, absolutely criminals, but they're coming at us with infantile behaviors. Not that they don't know what they're doing, not that they are innocent and infantile themselves, not that they're innocent and, oh, poor them, being misled. We're struggling not against human beings, but against the rulers, the authorities, and the cosmic powers governing this darkness. There's a degree of mind control. That being said, that aside, we're still responsible for our behaviors. But when they sit there and become like an inconsolable 2-year-old, we adults seeing an adult, it throws us off balance for just a minute. And we try to address the situation as adult on adult, and they're going to keep coming at you with a whiny baby 2-year-old that you cannot handle. That's the premise. And we have this parenting technique that we've been taught, and sometimes it is the answer, and sometimes it is very effective. and sometimes it's all that's necessary, is you just let the child sit on the floor of the supermarket and cry it out for just a minute or two, let them grab their stuff together, put them in the cart, and you move on. That's not what's supposed to happen. That's not what's going to happen. They're hoping that that is the parental reaction that we will have, and we'll just console these poor little two-year-olds because that's the behavior they're displaying. It is a Pavlovian response that they're expecting from us to have at least a degree of our psyche to be affected, as if they're helpless little babies who are just being overdone. That's not what's going on. That is the presentation that's going on. So I want to offer another disciplinary technique. It's called smacking that ass. Bear the rod and spoil the child. And there are times when an ass smacking is called for. And when we don't smack that ass, when the ass smacking is called for, then we end up a generational layer with a whole bunch of poison spread out on the Ivy League campuses, praising a death cult terrorist group. So don't be fooled. I just zipped up that volume, so we got a volume issue here drawing to my attention. So don't be fooled. They're brats, and when they become brats, that will show you nothing but brats. Yeah, you just yank them up like Plucky Duck and smack that ass. And that's the scriptural teaching that I have to give on that. But it's a training technique the communists and all the rest use, Salalinsky, all of those things, acting like two-year-olds, and then the violence of it. But remember, what they're doing is trying to make it look like those who are taking corrective action are the bad guys. It's an old trick. It's an old manipulation. And because they're coming at us with their two-year-olds, some people are being Pavlovianly fooled. Look what the media is doing with it. Not the real journalists and not the real people reporting the real news, but those who want salaciousness and want horrendousness and want us to feel, whoever us happens to be, they want their audience to feel bad for the terrorists by calling them protesters. It makes it very difficult to deal with adults, dangerous as they are, criminal as they are. It's difficult at first to know how to deal with adults presenting two-year-old spoiled brat behavior. And if you think I'm stretching this, go to TikTok, go Twitter, whatever it is now these days, and check it out for yourself. So not everything I say is going to tickle yours. This is one of them. In fact, a lot of what I say, you know, in the past may make you mad, but tonight, that's about as powerful and as I plan on getting, because he's alive, and it's a day for celebration. This morning, according to the timeline we have on the scriptures of Nisan 18, this is where we're at. So this is going to be a really cool thing because there's a bigger picture that's been painted and is being painted even now until the return of HaMashiach Nagid. And we were told to continue, just as servants, to continue till he comes, and which may be sooner than the Ecclesia is prepared for. So we have to prepare ourselves as Ecclesia to prepare for it. And so whatever we present on this program tonight is pretty straightforward. You might have a little extra music because I feel melodious and at liberty to do so. So what we do say is that research what you hear here tonight so you can own your own experience, so you can own your own learning in this, and hopefully I'll be able to put together enough dots and be able to put enough information out there in scriptures and a technique of looking at and seeing what I see through the puzzling scriptures there with some Greek. We're going to be Nisan 18, of course, that God did split the ocean. And we're also going to be talking about the resurrection of Christ. He's alive. Bringing all of this in together, of course, is the promise of Ezekiel, the One Stick Promise. And I want to remind my Christian brothers and sisters, my New Testament readers, the ones who haven't necessarily paid a lot of attention to the front of the book, into the back of the book, I want to remind everybody that in 1 Corinthians 5:7-8, it says to cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Messiah, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore keep the feast, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So here in this passage, I see this as a fulfillment, as an instructive fulfillment to let us know that back in Ezekiel, it's time to come together because we have the Passover and then we have the Passover. And then today, here we are, Nisan 18, we have the Passover. And we have the feast. And if I do my dot-to-dots correct, and if I do the timeline kind of sort of correct, then today would be this morning. Not only is the morning that Mary brings spices to the tomb and sees that he's resurrected, and there's an exchange there, and I'm going to rely on the music to tell that story because it does it so well. But we're also... I'm thinking that after 3 days travel, because remember in Exodus, when Moses was talking to Pharaoh, he said, I need to take them 3 days out to sacrifice. Let me get a drink. They got 3 days out and boom, there's the water, the Red Sea, the sea. And although the music that I'm going to play is going to call it an ocean, understand that it's very significant that the word is sea, because sea has a prophetic sense as well. So is God split the ocean. We see in Revelation, when we get to the back of the book, when Jesus is revealing himself throughout the scriptures to his disciple, his beloved John, to tell us, then we see the parallels and the dates lining up. And I'm wondering if the Red Sea was not parted on the very same day as the resurrection. And there's a reason it's told this way. There's a reason it's given this way. And I find it interesting to note that here we are in 2012. And here we are. The coming together, the confluence of the dates, and all that is around it, I just find it amazing to look at and to see if it's not something significant. So let's go ahead and talk about that. Let's talk about Nisan 18. And let me get back into my little world here of this is what you're going to talk about. So when we think about coming out of Egypt and being trapped against the sea, I want to expound on the idea of the sea. And we're going to take our first break and talk about how God split the ocean. We're going to honor the group 613. But when we talk about how God split the sea, or parted the Sea of Reeds, or parted the Red Sea, parted the sea. Sea is in prophecy, represents war. Represents a battle, represents war. And so in Revelation, when we see that a third of the seas dried up, we see that a third of the wars dried up at that point. And then all of the sea dries up. All of the wars dry up. Here God split the sea. And then they walked right through the war. I'm going to put it that way for a pictographic image to reflect on. What does that mean? I don't know, but it seems like there's a correlation with splitting the sea and rolling the stone away and drying up all of the sea, and the waters are there, which are the people. So the sea is the war, and the waters are people. And so he parted the water, he parted the people, and his people walked right through. And I think that we will see that as a tattoo or as a returning theme, pictures that when God needed Israel, the children of Israel to act, or even the people of Judah to act, he would split the people. I'm going to leave that also as a pictographic to think on. And we're going to touch a little bit on the three of these things. So we're going to talk about that, Nisan 18. And we're also going to at the very last part of tonight's broadcast, I'm going to bring in the idea of what was being spoken of when the scriptures tell us that by these three things, and let me get my scripture back up. I'm kind of pacing myself. I had a little bit of a, well, anyway, I'm pacing myself here. So, yeah, and that's in Revelation 9:13. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. I'm going to give a preparatory set for this, and then we'll return at the last half and put it all together. So when something issues out of their mouth, a lot of times we have this vision, this mind's eye imagination thing that, let me go ahead and clear my throat, of like fire breathing or something. Let me clear it again. Like a fire-breathing prophet, and that's all well and good and fantastical, and it kind of drives it home. But understand, if something is issuing out of somebody's mouth, it's generally a proclamation. There's a position of authority here. Now, is it God's authority? Well, if God's allowing it, God's allowing it. So we're going to take a look at the 17 and 18 in Revelation chapter 9 at the end of the broadcast, and that's when we're going to talk about by these three and talk a little bit about the Greek and something that my mentor taught me and that I will go ahead and teach you. But before then, let's go ahead and talk about that. Now, our sister Judah, let's parallel this. Our sister Judah is having to part people right now. They're at war. They're walking through a sea. They're at war. I expect God to hear their cry and give them victory, because he will part the people to get them out of the way to a place of safety, so that Judah, the Yehudim, can do what it is that they need to do to put an end to death, to put an end to Hamas, just as we read in the last book, in the back of the book of the King James Bible, the Holy Scriptures. Hamas means death. And tonight, what I see is God's hand in parting the people once again. Although it was actual water then, I do believe Yahweh Elohim will be parting. Adonai will part the people so that the Yehudim can go straight up and do, or straight down, and do exactly what it is that they need to do to end death. And the living rubbish, the live rubbish, which is another manipulation of the word Hezbollah. It's Hezbollah, which is a little bit different and I think more accurate. None of those have the best interest of humans in mind. They have the best interest of power in mind, and they wield mightily to get their way. My clocks are a little bit off on the wall, so I have to keep looking around and seeing where we're at, because I got about a 2-minute delay, which has put me off in landing in certain places when I needed to be somewhere, but that's all right. We're going to work with it. So our sister Judah is indeed in the middle of war once again. There's war on all sides. There was water. There was the sea on all sides. And then to the waters, he parted the people. The wording is specific. So they came across the Sea of Reeds, and then he parted the water. He parted the people so the Yehudim could pass through and do what it is they need to do. And I don't see today being any different than
what then was, because God says, in me there's no turning. I am the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. In me there is no variableness. He doesn't do it one way, another way, so that he's precarious and you don't know what to expect from Adonai. And Amos 3:7, he tells us, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he doesn't first reveal it to his servants, the prophets. So the way can be paved. God's always faithful, and he will part the sea. And here's a song from I love it. They're amazing. 6:13. God split the ocean. It is another Passover song, and I love it. And here we are on Nisan 18, and it is my belief as a, you know, I haven't heard from the rabbis yet that I got much wrong, so maybe it's kind of close enough for Sumerian teaching. I guess that's the way that would be. I am your host, Leanna Grace. I hope you're finding value in tonight's broadcast or podcast. Pod people, we love you too, and we wish a holy blessing on all of those who are active for the safety of Adonai to be upon them, and the fierceness of a lion to be in their hearts to do what it is that must be done. Pray that God will indeed part the waters and be with his Yehudim. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We'll be back.
Let's go. Ready for 8 days without a bagel. Tell the story, gather around the table, of how we gave the slip to Pharaoh, Pharaoh. Oh.
It's time for the monster feast. It's time for the monster feast. Ain't got no reason yet. Ain't got no reason yet. Gonna dip some parsley. Gonna dip it twice deep. 'Cause you know that he split the sea and he set my people free.
Guys, why are we saying God split the ocean? The Sea of Reeds was a sea.
Actually, that sea is part of the Indian Ocean, so...
God said, let my people go. Ain't got no bread to eat, 'cause he left so quickly. And you know that he split the sea, and he set my people free.
Yeah.
lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh no, your silence will not protect you. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it loud. We're going to talk about the truth. We're going to now switch from Old Testament, New Testament, preparatory set to He's Alive, right? We're going to talk about Yeshua. We're going to talk about His death, burial, resurrection. And we're going to talk about some of the ancillary, is that the word we're using now? Some of the other things that occurred that we don't necessarily focus on when we are celebrating the resurrection of Yeshua. Now, one of the things that I want to focus on, and you can find this in Josephus, I didn't open this particular text for me to reference, but we'll find at the scene of the cross that about the ninth hour, which is about 3 p.m., and that's how I got the numbers mixed up there, but at the ninth hour, about 3 p.m., there was an earthquake. And that's what split the veil, and a lot of other things went, and graves were opened up. And those that were in the graves got out of the grave, began to walk. So there was a restoration and a resurrection that occurred at the death of Yeshua during the earthquake. And then again, from what I understand from the scriptures, is upon his resurrection, there were others that were resurrected with him as well. And so it is my belief that the saints of old were resurrected with our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach Nagid. Because if we were to interpret the scriptures correctly, they're not going to be resurrecting the old foul ones, right? They're, according to mythos, according to our imagination picture of it, they're burning for hell forever in hell. They're burning. But that's not what the scriptures say. That's how we've interpreted them. That's not what the scriptures say. So there is proof. There is documentation, there is historical data to back up the claim of the resurrection of several. So I leave that to folks to listen for. Now, this thing about the Sabbaths and the confusion between Eastern, we covered this before. We're going to do it a little bit more in depth tonight. The only time that the word Easter is used, and feel free to follow me with your scriptures if you'd like to. I use the Interlinear Scripture Analyzer. For those of you who listened to my broadcast before, you know that's what we use. And so simply searching the word, searching the scripture for the word Easter, we find that it only shows up one time, and that's in Acts 12:14. And the scripture reads, "And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers." That's a lot. To keep him, intending for a quaternion, so there's like four, there's 16, right? There's 16 guarding him. Intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, when we go to the concordant literal version, it says after the Passover to lead him up to the people. And then if we go over into the Greek, which is really important to see the original Greek, because that's when the King James Version errors, and there are errors in the translation, not in the scriptures. And we need to understand the difference of that. So in Acts 12:4, when it says Easter, the word here is Pascha, and it's the Strong's G3957, and it says it's of Chaldee origin, but it is the Passover, the meal, the day, the festival, or the special, all of it. The picture, oh, Passover. And then it's Easter's put in there. Why? Well, because it was normal use. It had become part of, in the 4th century, before this ever became the King James Version in the 4th century, they had incorporated the pagan feasts of Easter and all of that so that the state could run the religion and bring the warring factions of religionationers together
And what happened was, is the church at that point married the world and began the watering down and the changing over and sharing of the feast days and the festivals and the celebrations with other religions. I didn't do it. It's what happened. I am shining a light on what happened. And so if we're going to be obedient servants and understand that God has a plan to bring the two kingdoms together, his promise in Ezekiel to make the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, Judah and Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and bring the two sticks together and make them one stick. So, and it's the stick of Jacob, which is in the hand of Joseph, that Ephraim bears. The name Joseph is written on it. So when we put these two sticks together, and I'm going to double check, God said, check your math. So I'm going over here to check my math. Ephraim and Judah. Yeah, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all of the house of Israel, his companions. Now, let's take a look at these two sticks. All of them together make Israel. The one stick is written on Judah, and for the children of Israel, his companion. So write that for Judah and everyone that's hanging with Judah and Judah's companions. So the people who support Judah, the people who are hanging with the Yehudim, you know, they've got some stuff in this. And then it says, and then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim. So for Joseph, he's writing on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel. Now, this other here, this is the children of Israel, his companions, and over here is the house of Israel, his companions. And is there a distinction with the difference? Well, I'm going to let you guys look at that. We could talk more about that next week. We'll talk about the one stick prophecy again next week, good Lord willing, the creek don't rise. But that's a good place to look. It says, and then it continues in verse 17, Ezekiel 37:17. It says, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. So there we have that. That's the promise. That's the goal. That's what God said is going to happen. We can fight against it, be like Paul and try to kick against the pricks. But it's going to happen because God said it. And he's going to make it come about, and we can either be helping, be part of the party, because you can Torah and party too, or we can resist one another. We can resist, the sticks can resist one another, like, you know, like the similar poles that we tend to try to be and repel one another, or we can just get over ourselves and come together into one stick, Judah, Ephraim, Judah, and Samaria. Because that's kind of who we are according to the scriptures. So it is Pesach, and we are told in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, to keep the feast. And so what I would suggest going forward is that we get together and decide, is this not a conversation that we want to have? That's not something that we might want to do corporately as a Christian body, to get together and say, yeah, you know, our root looks pretty cool, just like God said. And it would be really cool to celebrate the Passover together with our sister Judah. Now, it's a goal. It's something to think about. It could happen. I've got faith, maybe only the size of a mustard seed, but I am not afraid to use it. All right, so let's talk about this between the Passover things really quickly. I talked about it the other night. We're going to talk about it again, just briefly. So between the Passovers, now when we get to the Passover scriptures, right, and it talks about she after the Passover, or, you know, we assume that it is Sunday morning. We assume a lot of things as the Northern Kingdom. But what it is 3 days after that, and there happened to be a Thursday, Friday, Sabbath. So the ladies couldn't bring the spices that they wanted to. They brought them to the tomb in between the Sabbaths. Which Sabbath? Well, we have a Sabbath coming after this, which would have been Nisan 22, and it's the last day of unleavened bread. It might be Nisan 20, yeah, but it's the last day of unleavened bread. That in and of itself is a Shabbat, is a rest day built in to this calendar. And so when they came to the tomb, they came in between the Sabbaths. And if you'll go to the Interlinear Scripture Analyzer, we'll see that that's it. And so they were bringing spices for the body to embalm and do those things. And it was the habit that was handed down from generation to generation for their children, their children, their children, children, children. And then we have Mary and company, you know, bringing the same to the Savior. And when they got there, the tomb, the stone that had been in front of the tomb to seal it up, and there were had been guards assigned so that nobody did no funky business. And actually, the stone was rolled away, and there was nobody there. And she came out, and she was bereaved, and there was a gardener, who she assumed was a gardener by vocation, avocation, absolutely by calling. And he says, you know, why do you weep? She goes, they took my master. He said, why do you seek the dead among the living? Why do you seek the living among the dead? And that's when she realized who she was speaking to, and then all of these other things occurred, and she went and she told the disciples. She was going to grab him and hug him because, like, they were close. They were close. And she's like, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to my Father. So he was in, his physical body was in a state. And it could have very well been that his body was in such a physical state that she could have gotten zapped to toast, right? And so it was best if she not get too close to him, just as if he himself was the ark. Something to think about. I'm drawing an analogy for a reason. But he said, don't touch me, but go tell him what you saw. So she went and told, and you know, John's like, oh, yeah, and he's running, and Peter's like, are you sure? Right, because this is a woman, and a woman's testimony meant nothing in those days. So she had to go get two witnesses, because not even her word at that time as a woman in the place of society, her word wasn't good enough, so she had to acquire two witnesses to witness what happened at the tomb and to see what they could see. And when they went there, this is what's amazing, is when they went there, the tomb was empty, the stone was rolled away, the guards were long gone, fearing for their life, I'm sure. And when they got there, they wasn't there, but what was there was his face, the napkin was folded. The scriptures are sure to mention that and understand that according to the school of Dr. Chuck Missler, if it's there in the scriptures, it's there for a reason, because words were not cheap. And the words that they used, the Holy Spirit made sure that the right words were put in the right place. It's an integrated messaging system. If you interrupt it, it changes the meaning of things. And we're going to take a look at that in the very last part of the program. So they went and they saw, and then they went back and they're scared. And Don Francisco, who was a contemporary Christian artist, I'm sure that he is still active today, although I haven't listened much to his later stuff. I'm very, very much attached to his first album, which is Forgiven, and that came out in the late 70s, and I was actually blessed to be able to see him. I think it was the First Baptist Church in Norman, I think is where, anyway, it was in Oklahoma. Yeah, go figure. And the Bible Belt was cinched up real tight right then. It got a little loose now. We're going to work on that, just saying. So, and he performed this, and I fell in love with his music even before I had heard it. And then when I heard him perform it, I fell, you know, of course, even more in love with it. So let me go ahead and share with you the song that is appropriate to the time, the season, and the Hebrew calendar of Nisan 18, Resurrection Morning, because this is, he does an excellent job of narrating, musically narrating so many things. And so here he is, Don Francisco, presenting to us the story of the resurrection and according to Schurz. I am your host, Leander Grace. We'll be back on the other side. Don Francisco is going to explain to you. He's alive. We'll be back.
The gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and the voice began to call. Hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. And John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Well, something strange had happened there, but just what, I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him. Then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I had promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, wouldn't be the same. But suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide, and I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive.
lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh no, the silence will not protect you. But talking about the truth and talking about it loud and talking about and sharing the gospel of Christ, well, that's helpful. That is, definitely. Now, the parallel that I've drawn is drawn by a lot of other reverends. Maybe the way I drew it and some of the things I pointed out might be a little bit different. And I want to point something else out in a different fashion, in a way, looking at the scriptures in a way that we might not be used to. Now, Dr. Chuck Missler, may rest in peace, he would teach, you know, he has a course, it's still online and it's still edifying, even after death, he's still edifying, with the course of Learn the Bible in 24 Hours, and he explains some of the things about the scriptures, particularly characteristics of the scriptures, not the teaching of them, although he does that, but having to do with the way the manuscripts are written and the way that the letters are written. For instance, in the manuscripts in the New Testament, when it went from the Codex, went from the scroll to the Codex, and they went to the vellum and all of that, and they changed the thing. Remember, this stuff wasn't easy to come by. He could only write on one side of it, and then when it changed to the other, this was difficult. Writing was difficult. And so the Greek language, all of the letters that they wrote were capitalized, and there were no spaces put in between them. But a learned scholar would understand there wasn't punctuation, but a learned scholar knew what it was that he was writing. Now understand that Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, is in charge of the scriptures, in charge of breathing these scriptures into the prophets and into the scribes and those who would do the will of God. None of this is by happenstance that any of this information is coming together. None of it is by happenstance. Everything is perfectly laid out for us to follow. And we're told in 2 Timothy 2:15 to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we read again It's another 3:16, where we're told, you know, all scripture is given. And let me go ahead and look that up so I'm not baffling all over and making all of that, you know, mistakes and stuff. But we're told that all scripture is given. All scripture. All means all. All of the book. Not just the old part of the book, but the new part of the book. And all of it is given for teaching, for reproof, for admonition, for all of those things, so that we don't self-destruct. And inclusive of the text is the Ten Commandments. Inclusive of the text is all of the instructions that we were given before. So that's what when I'm referring to that, that's what we're referring to. Now understand, when we're dealing with the Greek text, there are some things that you can do with it, just as when we're dealing with Olive and Tav, we're also dealing with Greek text in the same way. And Holy Spirit is able to hide words within words, whether we realize it or not. And I made, you know, an attempt. I'll go into more depth next week in my presentation of it. But in Revelation, chapter 9 and verse 18, it reads, by these three, again, by these three, the third part of men were killed by fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. So we're having an imagination that there are these great big metal things, and maybe it's war machines, and maybe it's this, that, and it could be. But let's take a look at it this way. If it's issuing out of their mouths, then this is going to be a personification or something, or an utterance. And so in terms of a proclamation, let's think of it in terms of a proclamation that issued out of their mouth. And the first one, let me go ahead and go to the script because I only have a few minutes left to cover this. So I bookmarked it. I know I did. Of course I did. So if we go into the Greek script, we see that the third part of men
were killed by these three was a third part of men killed by fire. Now let's take a look at fire. And the fire is Puros. So that's going to be, here we go. I'm not going to get the letters right because I don't speak the language, but let me get the Strong's in helping me for it. But it's a primary word and it means fire. But if we'll go to Google, simply Google Translate is what I use, and I put a space in there, and I got a different word. And so let's go then to By the Smoke. And By the Smoke is Cap Noi, and I may or may not be saying that right, and they're using smoke and fumes. And if you go to the Strong's, you can get that, and I copy and paste that into Google Translate. But I put a space in there, remembering what Dr. Chuck Missler has said, that there's spaces are not put in there. So there is room for some movement in this. And I attempted to apply that theory and put some movement in this, and I got a different word, as well as with the word brimstone. So let's take a look and see what it is that I got as a direct result of that. And the first one that I got is program. And then the next one that I got was Mrs. Doctor, and that's very specific, not to be confused with the Dr. Donna, but it's very specific with coming out to be Mrs. Doctor, and I'll go into more detail on this and have it larger than life for you guys next weekend, but I didn't want to spend too much time on it here and going into it because I just want to point it out. And for those who want to go ahead and try some of this stuff on your own, I highly recommend it. This is one of those things where I say, oh, no, please try this at home. So what we'll find out is that by these three, a third of men were killed. And if we translate it the way I had put this Greek out, we find out that it was by the programs, by the bad medicine, and by the one directing it, the old man. We know the old man. So by the program, we see programs lighting up all over the place. We've seen them left and right going on. We also see them now coming in the image of poison on our Ivy League campuses, and that is also spread out from there. Now, when we're talking about Mrs. Doctor, remember, when we're talking about a woman in the scriptures, I think it's just hilarious because I put a space in between the K and the A, and I know those aren't the letters, but it comes out to Kapong, Kapnong, and I have no idea what that word means or sounds like, but it would be bad medicine. Okay, so Mrs. would be a mistress or a false woman or a false teaching. So it's a false medicine or a poison or pharmakia. So Mrs. Doctor would be pharmakia. And then the old man would be the director, and we know that to be the old man of sin, the one of destruction. In the Greek, it's polyon. And there's another translation that we can share as well. I hope you found value in tonight's broadcast or podcast. Pod people, we love you too. We got only 60 seconds left in the broadcast. We're going to go ahead and bring it to a close. Nisan 18, where God splits the ocean, God split the sea. In Nisan 18, the resurrection morning of Yeshua HaMashiach. And then we have Revelation 9:18, which tells us by these three programs, bad medicine, and the old man, a third of mankind will be killed. A third of men will die. I am your host, Leanna Grace. Ponder on these things. Take them to heart. Know where we're at. Know where we're going. And be a part of that which brings Holy Spirit forward in this great awakening. Until next time, I'm reminding you to, as always, to watch for the signposts, to connect these dots, to find your path, to live in love, do something good as we learn to forgive. Until next time, good night.